I, you know, the, at this point in my life, you know, and also being an LA native, these are the important aspects, you know, that you look for, because there's a ton of traffic. Sadly, there are accidents that do happen, especially on 405 in the morning. You know, and you want whatever technology can be developed in order to help your friends, families, just people in general to get to their destination safely. And so that's really important. I think that's really important. And that's something that I'm very excited to see.
Next week, from November 26th to the 29th, is Auto Mobility LA, the premier conference for leaders of the new mobility movement. In conjunction with the LA Auto Show, these dual-purpose events bring together automakers, government officials, technocrats, academics, startups, foreign press, automotive retailers, transportation professionals, and the forever critical automotive enthusiasts, gearheads, and futurists.
We have two great guests who work at Automobility LA and the LA Auto Show. Our first guest is a proud fighting Trojan, Lefty Sironis. As the director of experiential marketing, Lefty leverages the show's platform to position brands to engage their target audience. As a result, he helped rebrand the LA Auto Show, helped launch the Connected Car Expo, helped form the prestigious event known as Automobility LA, and has introduced several new destinations and experiences for attendees. His coworker in crime is a proud fighting Illini, Alexis Evans. Alexis serves as the Director of Communications and is in charge of the Top 10 Automotive Startup Competition and the Hackathon, now dubbed Code Automobility LA. Together, they are part of the management team who organize Automobility LA and the LA Auto Show, and we are grateful for their service.
I'm Dennis Wisco.
Alongside Kelly Cruz.
And this is the Wisco Weekly Podcast, where we share the voices of automakers, automotive retailers, and transportation professionals who are driving and shaping the future of automotive.
You are now tuned in to the Wisco Weekly Experience.
Chicka brown, chicken brown cow.
Lefty and Alexis, welcome. Hello, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Hello.
Hi.
It's great. Thank you for being here.
That was an awesome intro, by the way. Go Illini. I'm very proud.
Fight on.
Yeah. Do you guys have some internal battles here?
There's no dispute here. I'm sorry to cut you off. There's just no dispute.
There is, but he just refuses to admit it. So that's okay.
Well, it could be interesting. I mean, certainly from I don't know the last time you guys played football against one another, but certainly basketball.
It was the Rose Bowl in 2005.
Alexis knows here.
And on a daily basis, sorry for Alexis, on fantasy football, right?
Well, Lefty, Alexis, this is certainly going to be some insightful information that myself and my listeners will be able to learn more about the inside information about what goes on Automobility LA. So I thought first off what we can tee off this episode is to talk about terminology. There's so much terminology when it comes down to mobility and connectivity. And I know you guys have kind of narrowed in on this acronym called ACES. Mm-hmm. So Lefty, if you can maybe share with me what this acronym is and just tell me a little bit more about it.
Absolutely. So Automobility LA, again, born out of the Los Angeles Auto Show. This will be the sixth year we're doing it. ACES, A-C-E-S. They really stand for the four pillars right now of where the industry is moving. And there's a lot of directions it's moving in, obviously. But autonomy is, of course, the A, connectivity for C, electrification for E, and sharing will obviously represent the S. And those are the four pillars right now as to where things are moving. You see automakers creating autonomous innovations within the vehicles. That's being proliferated as we get towards level of 5 autonomy, which is fully autonomous. We have the connectivity. That means everything from having your cell phone seamlessly integrated within a vehicle to tapping into Amazon Alexa Auto and being able to bring in your personal assistant into the car seamlessly from the home. Electrification speaks for itself. We're in the top green market in the United States here in Los Angeles and in California. And so it's very important as automakers continue to electrify their lineup of vehicles. And sharing represents your Lyft, Ubers of the world, and the Turos of the world, where you're sharing vehicles, you're sharing rides, and so on and so forth. Those are the four ubiquitous sort of trends that are transforming the industry as a whole.
And so born out of this acronym, or I shouldn't say born out of it, but the as a result of this acronym, this is what a lot of attendees can expect to see and feel at Automobility LA and the LA Auto Show.
Absolutely.
Now, it's kind of, I guess, interesting. So, you know, on one hand, one of the things you had mentioned was the E, the electrification and kind of going green. I do recall, I don't even know if it was maybe 5 years ago, maybe a little longer than that, green was a little more of the focal point as opposed to electrification. Is there anything that you're seeing on your end that would lead to believe that electrification kind of is kind of more the dominant message or theme as opposed to green?
Well, the reason why electrification, which is of course a component of green, is being highlighted is from the sheer sort of product availability right now. Automakers are choosing to obviously venture into creating fuel cell powertrains, electric powertrains, and hydrogen and other alternatives. The one that you're seeing proliferated the most right now in terms of what product offerings there are is electric. And so that is why we're kind of taking a focal point on that, which to that end doesn't mean that we don't have alt fuel vehicles at the show or that that isn't being discussed. It's just there's a lot more of it that's taking place.
And I think it certainly helps when I was just reading what the October sales numbers were. Tesla in October sold a little over 21,000 cars, which outdid a lot of other, let's say, luxury manufacturers. One in particular is Audi. But I can see how, you know, when you do have a company like Tesla who is only doing electric cars, how that can become how that resonates a little more with everyday people. And I think I'm sure we'll get to some of these other automakers that are making only electric vehicles. But so there's a lot of things that are going on at Automobility LA. You have the kickoff, there's a startup competition, there's the Code Automobility LA, the car design, Women in Automotive, Securing Mobility Summit. Lefty, this is a menu. This is your drink menu, sir. What would you like? What would you like to start with?
It's a buffet indeed. I think it's important to understand first and foremost, just because we're a different show than the rest of the shows in the world, to understand why we're doing all of this. So first and foremost, we have vehicle debuts that are taking place and have been taking place ever since 1907 here in Los Angeles. As that's evolved year over year, there was a need decades ago to have press days, you know, for the media to have a head start, kind of see the product, get really great close-up shots and so on and so forth. But we went through a disruption, I would say a severe disruption as an industry over the past 10 years with technology and other newcomers coming into the scene. And that really gave birth to the need for us to create a stage, for the industry to have a stage to discuss all the great changes that are taking place, challenges, opportunities. So we put together a conference. That conference is a focal point on our Tuesday of the show at Automobility LA. That's where all the executives get together, the researchers, the engineers, to talk about how will we get from point A to B today and tomorrow? What are those challenges and opportunities? And a lot of the conversation that takes place on that stage and the perspectives and the insights that are shared from there focus around the ACEs. And so with that being said, I think it caters to a very specific type of attendee at our show, someone who's looking to either invest or report on or develop a partnership within this new mobility space. That conference is a great opportunity for you to gain those sorts of insights.
How many attendees will come through the doors of Automobility LA?
So last year we had around 25,000 attendees over the course of 4 days, because Automobility LA is a 4-day experience. The conference is obviously a bit more niche, and it brings together analysts, media, and industry professionals who are really looking to gain those insights. Meanwhile, while that conference is happening, you have automakers, their exhibit teams, and fabricators putting the exhibits together in the other main halls of the convention center, at the Los Angeles Convention Center. So they're busy, they're working, they're doing their thing, because the focus on them comes on Wednesday and Thursday, when they're unveiling their products that are ready for consumers to jump into when they come to the Los Angeles Auto Show after Automobility LA ends. So that conference says a lot, and around that conference, we've built an exhibit showcase of auto tech exhibitors. So in the past, you've seen everyone from Microsoft to Intel to NVIDIA exhibit over the past several years, companies that you may not have ever seen at an automotive event before. And so because of this disruption, we brought in LA Auto Show stage and created Automobility LA. And because there was so much noise, there's so many topics, cybersecurity, this, that, whatever else, we really had to hone in on the 4 ubiquitous trends, or at least 4 of them that we identified, which are, again, autonomy, connectivity, and electrification, and the sharing economy, to be able to present content, not only from an exhibitor standpoint, but also from a thought leadership standpoint, that really focused on this cutting edge part of the industry. And that's all happening at Automobility LA concurrently, while we also offer vehicle debuts. And so we offer automakers the opportunity to present their latest innovations. What are people gonna be able to get into today and tomorrow? Which really puts us at a really great spot to not only be there for what's available in the present day, but also gives consumers, industry professionals, and others, I say consumers for the LA Auto Show, but for Automobility LA, a glimpse into the future of where things are going.
So, you know, one of the things that I can find interesting is that, so Automobility wasn't always Automobility LA. It was the Press and Trade Days, or Connected Car.
Those were 2 events. So we had the Connected Car Expo, which was the precursor to what we now have, which is Automobility LA, which is a merger of Connected Car Expo and our Press and Trade Days.
So let's do like a historical check here. So take me back to those days. What were some of the things that you were seeing? Mm-hmm. And this is what, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
Well, that was actually almost 6 years ago.
6 years ago, okay.
Almost 6 years. In 2013 was the first Connected Car Expo.
Okay, so if we go back to 2013, and as compare and contrast today, what are some of the changes you've seen in either the attendees, the exhibitors? I mean, I think certainly one of the things you had mentioned were companies like Microsoft, a tech company who's never been in the automotive space, is now all of a sudden wanting to attend a really big conference. So what would be some of the more dramatic changes you've seen over the last 6 years in this ACES space?
Yeah, no, and I totally get that. So I think even before I arrived at the show, we started seeing the complexion of the attendee change. So you're wondering, why is Domino's Pizza or Pizza Hut coming to our show? Why are they coming to the LA Auto Show Press Days? And the reason is they have business. They have invested interest into what the future of transportation is. And so the team identified, wow, there's a really significant change. Let's create a conference to start talking about these different changes. Let's start bringing in the Sprints of the world and the T-Mobiles of the world and the Verizons of the world to connect the vehicle. And that really became the first sort of palpable pillar for the future of mobility, was connectivity, because a lot of people understand that and telecoms were ready for that. From that point on, the electrification front, I mean, just to give you perspective, 100 plus years ago, there was a significant majority, or not majority, at least significant minority of vehicles that were electric powertrains. And so those got mitigated over the decades, and everything became, you know, fueled by fossil fuels and whatnot. So here we are again, 100 years later, and we're talking about electrification, which is kind of interesting. So now it became a significant thing. So we didn't really know that the ACES would be the ACES and would be the pillars until we had the perspective that we have today. not just as show producers, but as an entire industry, because we have an advisory board that helps put that conference together. We really needed to kind of say, okay, what's the need right now? We need to have a stage. We need to start talking about these things. And so we started bringing in executives from Salesforce and executives from Lyft and every other corner of the industry and the new industry, the new automotive industry, into the fold to start having these discussions. And people came and people listened. Exhibitors started popping up. We had to build an entire technology pavilion because we had no space inside that convention center. And now we've added 50,000 square feet of additional sort of conference space and exhibit space to accommodate this burgeoning new industry and where a tech company could feel at home. You know, they served as suppliers perhaps in the past, but now suppliers are also innovating at the same rate, whether it's software updates, whether it's chips, whether it is LiDAR detection systems or whatever it is. All of those innovations are the most marketable things in an ever-connected society. Safety is really important. Hacking, obviously, is really important. So we've thrown people on stage like Chris Valasek, who used to work, who hacked a Jeep, actually hacked a Jeep and remotely was able to control the Jeep on stage at Connected Car Expo at that time. The following year, you see Chris Valasek working for Uber Technologies. I don't know where Chris is right now, but I can tell you that it's very intriguing to watch now people jumping from auto, what was traditionally auto, into tech and tech into auto and vice versa.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was going to ask too at some point, like, what would be some of the more like successful stories that have come out of this event? And so what is his last name? Chris
Valasek.
Valasek. So he started off as some kind of hacker and then has now been, now he's working for one of the largest ride sharing companies in the world right now.
Or he was last time I checked.
Yeah, or at least last time.
You'll probably have to check Chris's LinkedIn. Right. But I just remember that you start seeing figures go from auto into tech or from supplier into OEM and vice versa. And it's just because there's an ever blending, and Alexis will be able to talk about why we decided to then create, after we had this conference and we established a foundation and we were the first auto show to come out and say, you know what, we really need to have these discussions. It's not just about your automotive executives coming and unveiling a car, but it's really about having that discussion with your tech partners, with, you know, startups and everyone else, to really start giving insight around these ACEs. So the auto show, or what we thought of as the auto show, started tagging along to it the Connected Car Expo, which is a very focused event. And very quickly after that, we assembled an advisory board, put on a conference director, and really got people that are in the trenches working as engineers, working as product sort of executives, as designers, as marketers, in every sort of facet, to come and assemble a conference and put together a conference that they want to see, that matters to them. What we pride ourselves in is nothing's pay for play. You can't come and say, hey, you know what, I'll give you X amount and I want to go speak on. It doesn't work that way. You want people on there that are really going to deliver an insight that means something.
Yeah, you want people to like push the mission forward, and that mission has to be bought into by all parties. And I think one of the interesting things that you had said there that I've never heard before, and I'm certainly going to be taken away after this episode, is the whole idea of how these tech companies, you know, they were kind of these low-level suppliers, if you will.
Not low-level, but you can't call Microsoft a low-level supplier.
Right. But certainly. However, but as the years have progressed, and as automotive and tech, as those lines have blurred, you know, now these tech companies are no-level, quote-unquote, low-level, or again, they don't have it. Whereas once before, they were, you know, an automaker was like, hey, Microsoft, I'm going to outsource some kind of user interface. Whereas Microsoft now is in the position of, hey, look, now we're developing the user interface. You should be using this in your cars now.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that's happening. And so that area is great. All the rules are changing. Innovation can come from any direction.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think it's always interesting to look back at back in the days of USC, looking at old case studies of other industries that have gone through this sort of disruption where there's been a blend and an intersection of two major industries, let's say, the cameras and printers, right? The Xeroxes of the world and the Konicas of the world. How do they come together around the fax machine? You know, and so here you are where you're at an intersection again between automotive and tech, or as Alexis liked to put it, a blend of auto and tech. Yeah, you know, but really, you know, this is an inverted consumer electronics show, at least from the B2B standpoint. It's an inverted CES.
Interesting way of looking at, yeah.
And but we're completely focused on mobility and transportation. You're not, you know, really alongside curved television screens, which is really cool over in Vegas. This is one of those experiences where it's focused around transportation mobility. And after all of that is said and done, several of these stakeholders that are discussing this transportation mobility innovation obviously get to stay for 10 days for the LA Auto Show and actually hit the top consumer market in the United States as it relates to cars and engage and influence and inspire and, you know, get products that are ready for consumers to get into so that they can touch and feel it in a Switzerland sort of environment, what they like or what they don't like or what they value, learn about the ACEs, learn about all the other really cool innovations that are in vehicles these days, educate themselves really. And that's what the novelty and the value of coming to the LA Auto Show, let's say as a consumer attendee is, or just like someone who loves cars or wants to see somebody new or wants to window shop, is that there's no hassle, right? You just come, you get to see, you get to learn, an impression is made. Later, you'll go, you'll make a recommendation to someone. Those are called shouters. Those are influential attendees, whether it's through social media or whether it's through personal word of mouth recommendations. We all make them, and the impressions are made at an environment like the LA Auto Show.
Well, and certainly, you know, as we are continuing to talk about how automotive and tech are coming together, there are two particular elements of Automobility LA that is very unique, the startup competition as well as the hackathon or Code Automobility LA. And so, Alexis, that is your primary charge, which
it is.
It's kind of cool, but do you feel like there's an unnecessary pressure though on you too? Because I guess let me state why I think there could be pressure on you. And again, maybe I'm putting now I'm putting the weight on your shoulders, right? But in a lot of ways, because of the gravity that Automobility LA has, you know, you're tasked with choosing these startups or inviting these startups and picking the judges and so in a lot of ways, you might not have an investment stake per se, like a monetary capital stake in these companies, but certainly you're helping shape what the next 2 years, 5 years, maybe 10 years would look like.
Yeah, you know what? Absolutely. And it's, you know, fortunately it's not as daunting as you would think, and mainly because there are a lot of people who are involved. While I oversee it, you know, there we have from the top 10 automotive startup competition, we have a co-chair. Her name is Manuela Papadopoul, and she is a consultant. She used to work at Electrobit, and she used to work at Microsoft, which is funny since we were just talking about that. And so she and I kind of work together in terms of, you know, thinking about how are we going to get this out to people who might be interested in applying for this competition. And then we kind of think about the judges. Who are the judges that are going to be, who will be taking part of this? Who are going to be judging on these top 10 companies once they, you know, and narrowing it down to 10 and then narrowing it down to 3 and then finally the grand prize winner. So in a larger perspective, yes, it is, because this is a competition that has grown immensely. You know, originally it started off as kind of like a Shark Tank type thing. Then it grew, you know, a couple years later it turned into, well, let's pick companies, let's do some research. And our advisory board looked at different companies in different parts of the country, and let's just consider them top 10 and invite them to the show. Then it really became an actual competition where companies were submitting their company and explaining why they should be part of the top 10. So this has been really an evolution. And then, you know, the more it's evolved, the cooler our judges have become, and coming from large multi-billion-dollar companies. And, you know, this year we have Porsche Consulting as one of our judges, and someone from Mercedes-Benz, and someone from Silvercar, Audi. So there are, now we have OEMs that are playing into this, and because they recognize the fact that technology, as cars evolve, so does that technology. And when you once used to just put a key in to start the car, now you're pressing all types of buttons, but without that technology, those buttons wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say it's daunting. I would say it's a lot of fun, because I have an opportunity to be a part of something and that can at some point change the world.
Yep.
And change the way that we get from, you know, point A to point B.
That's how you pick your 10. I mean, not your, but our 10.
Yeah, I mean, this is about what's different.
Well, so here's the million-dollar question. Can you share, you know, privy to the LA or to the Automobility LA, who the top 10 companies?
I wish. We're still trying to lock some people in, and so I would love to, but unfortunately I can't. But I can tell you that the people that the judges have chosen for the top 10, you know, assuming everything works out and they've confirmed their participation, it's going to be great. And it's not just your standard rideshare companies and things along those lines. They are all types of modes of transportation. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, these are companies that will help people get from point A to point B, whether it's on the B2C side or the B2B side. So it can be super technical, it can be LiDAR, which half the world probably doesn't really understand, or it can be something as simple as here's a solution that will help students get from their dorm to the middle of the quad, and it's an electric vehicle or something like that. So there is a wide range of companies that we're hoping have been locked in for this year's top 10. And it, you know, it continues to be a competition or an event that grows and has expanded.
And so, and then how about, so this, that's the startup. How about hackathon? Or I'm sorry, Code Mobility, Automobility LA.
So Code Automobility LA, I mean, let's start from the beginning. We kind of got pulled into being a show that deals with hackathons, and it was due to Ford. Ford actually was one of the first OEMs to have a hackathon, an automotive-focused hackathon, and they started at CTIA.
In partnership,
which is and it was in partnership with us, but it started at CTIA, and then they took it from there to
CTIA is,
it's a consumer technology, and
it's the wireless industry show.
Yeah,
okay. Is this in Detroit then?
No,
this is out here.
They have had it in Vegas and they've had it here.
I see. Okay,
they merged
and
now,
and now it's kind of gotten into, it's become like a bigger thing.
Okay,
and so it kind of went around, and then we had a couple of companies, Mojo specifically, which is another tech type company. They put it together, a hackathon, and they used our show as the platform to have the hack. And then last year was the first year that we decided that we were gonna host a hackathon. So putting it all together on our own, and it was sponsored by Honda Innovations. Last year, you know, we had some really great judges. Again, people from the Los Angeles Department of Transportation, Engadget. There was someone from AAA. So there were a lot of people that were involved in it. And then this year, it's the first time the hackathon has actually been sponsored. And so this year it's sponsored by Visa and General Motors, which, as everybody knows, it's, you know, those are two very well-known companies that have taken part in this. You know, it's similar to the top 10. It is one of those events that has grown immensely. And the popularity in it has taken off. Now people are actually asking, is the hack going to happen? And, you know, we have companies that are interested in being a part of it
next
year.
Does this happen at the actual show?
It does.
It does.
It does. Oh. So the hackathon will take place November 25th through the 26th. Mm. And then the winners will be announced on stage during the conference portion of Automobility LA on November 27th. And the winning,
and they get some cash prizes.
Of course, there's always some type of money involved.
Yeah.
So there is an overall cash prize of $85,000. First place will receive $40,000 in prepaid Visa cards. Second place will be 30,000 and 15, and a third place will be 15,000.
Prepaid Visa cards.
There's a lot you can do with $40,000 worth of Visa cards. I already have a list, but I can't play because it wouldn't. That's a conflict of interest.
I do want to say it is phenomenal to see where we started again. As Alexis said, there's like a backstory to all of this and where we've come. I mean, the whole thing was CTIA back in the day and Ford being the first automaker to do a hackathon. Like, what? You know? And to have it really hit those pillars where we partner with another show, and then that becomes the first splash, and then you come over to Connected Car Expo and LA Auto Show at that time, and then you go on to CES and so on and so forth, really kind of catapults, again, what the perception of Connected Car Expo, LA Auto Show, and now Automobility LA is in the eyes of a programmer or a developer or an R&D team or a tech team within an organization. I think that's cool.
But I also think it kind of shows how advanced our show actually is. You know, you don't hear a lot of auto shows doing these type of things. The fact that Automobility LA was one of the first, if not the first, auto show that put together a hackathon and that actually hosted it, is pretty interesting. It's a pretty cool thing to be a part of. And so this is just these two competitions specifically are just two of the things that have kind of put us kind of ahead, if you will, in terms of kind of we're looking ahead of what the future of transportation is really going to be. And these startups and these developers that are helping, you know, improve the overall driving experience, which is really the theme for this year's Code Automobility LA, or for those startups that are coming up with technologies that, you know, we've already had some startups that have either been acquired or they're working with major OEMs like BMW and Porsche. You know, it's a lot, you know, it is a true testament to what we're really about, and that is moving the needle in the transportation and automotive industry. It's no longer these two separate entities. You know, any car that you get in at this point probably has a button, and there's probably all types of really pretty pictures and things along those lines. And you know, now you're not paying attention to the road, you're paying attention to this, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Paying attention for you though.
Right, and so, you know, there's a lot that's happening, and these are those companies that are helping push this evolution forward.
And I think it's really cool. Alexis again touches on this point that we are not a traditional auto show here at LA Auto Show, Automobility LA. And the reason we even have this word, Automobility LA, is because we really needed to create a brand, a stage that was new, fresh, and that it was implied to a tech company, a startup, an established automaker, whomever it is, that this is, again, a Swiss ground. And I use Switzerland as the example because we all know Switzerland is allegedly neutral.
Allegedly neutral.
I say that because from my friends in Zurich, who claim this, but I don't think so. Put a soccer player out there and then suddenly they're not so neutral. But anyways, but beside the point, Automobility LA is just a whole different monster. It's a whole different opportunity and stage, and so that's why we had a decision as a company, and with the advisory board also supporting it, to rebrand. And I think it's really great for top 10. Another, you had to ask something earlier, Dennis, about, you know, how was it then and how is it now, what changes have you seen? Even with top 10, we had Robert Herjavec back then from Shark Tank, when this was a Shark Tank sort of pitching style thing. And then it started growing and evolved, and it grew ever since Alexis came on board and we got our advisory board involved and all that stuff. But I will say that you're starting to hear more about these different sort of VC groups and investment groups within each automaker pop up and want to participate. Like even this year, we have Urban X, who, you know, is really involved with the BMW group and Mini and whatnot. They're based out of Brooklyn, I believe, in New York City. They're also Micah, who's on their team. He's gonna be speaking on one of the panels this year at Automobility LA. it's super intriguing. You have BMW doing their iVenture group, Porsche Consult, all these different groups are popping up. And they have news to make. They have acquisitions, you know, to make. They have consulting to do and so on and so forth. And it just shows how it's no longer an AB relationship with an automaker. There's several sort of stakeholders now that are within Ford, that are within BMW and all these other different companies, investing, buying, doing this, doing that. And we are creating programs that are being emulated by our, you know, other auto shows in the world. Detroit, for example, right? They created Automobility after we put together Automobility LA for a reason. Then the Germans with IAA, they put together New Mobility World shortly after we announced putting together this whole sort of experience. So it's good, you know, you're at the forefront when there's some emulation happening across the globe.
It's flattering.
The flattering is great, but at the end of the day, you kind of know that you're doing something okay, or at least it's moving in the right direction. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier, we can't do any of this stuff. If we could do it, but we're really glad we're doing all these things, like putting a really great conference together or a good competition together with people who are actually working in the trenches within these tech companies, suppliers, startups, established automakers, so that we can keep it really real.
Well, so this actually gets to a point here that I've always thought about, and who knows what the answer is, right? But again, you have automakers that have their own think tanks and venture capital operations now that are competing with the actual venture capitalists, and then you have all these startups. So there's so much going on in the business, and you know, Alexis, from your standpoint as a PR professional, you know, how does a company craft their message in order to stand out with what's going on in this mobility space?
I think, you know what, that's a really good question. And the answer is there is no one message. Because this is one of those situations, especially from the auto and tech standpoint, where it really depends on who your audience is. You know, if you're talking to the tech world, they're going to want to know, you know, how the technology is moving this needle and how it's helping the automotive industry, but from a more technical standpoint. So the messaging is always different based on who you're talking to. You can ask anybody in this office. The word message and or messaging has come out of my mouth about 17 times per day.
You got the message.
See, exactly. And I just... it is very important because one of it, it's hard when you're working for an auto show and you people just know you as an auto show. So now you're trying to educate. It's not just about the Los Angeles Auto Show. It's about Automobility LA also, and you know, press and trade days and vehicle debuts and things along those lines. So it's really how we message it, and it's not just one message that gets across. It's multiple messages because that language is going to be different. It's been an interesting move for me because I've come from the technology world. So I was up in San Francisco in the Bay Area for a while, and so I was a part of startup land and I loved it. And even established companies, I was doing PR for them as well. But here was an opportunity to not only take that experience that I had in the tech world, but now kind of moving it toward a little bit towards automotive and talking to traditional automotive reporters and outlets, things along those lines, and still talking about technology because in reality, they're talking about the exact same thing, but it may be worded a little bit differently.
And it's funny, we get into these sort of discussions here, being a dozen people again, that at least we're full-timers here at Automobility LA, LA Auto Show, about similar language. You know, how do you pick the name, for example, Automobility? Why Mobility? Mobility was reserved for people with physical disabilities or handicaps in the past, perhaps, if you Googled it. Today you Google it, it's much broader, which is kind of cool because there should be no distinction. You're still people getting from point A to B, right? Goods, people, services. So I would implore you to come up with a new lexicon of the new mobility world because there's terms popping up left and right. How do you keep up?
I mean, you're absolutely right, which is kind of part of, you know, the genesis of that question, because this is such a new space we're operating in, right?
It's like, an old new space.
It's an old
and it's
new,
new
space.
Old space. Sure. We're the 100 plus year old startup here, and yeah. So is the industry. It's going through a second sort of, you know, leapfrog moment.
But from a technology standpoint, this is definitely a new space for everybody involved. Because technology has become so advanced.
Was the assembly line, though, technology 100 years ago?
Well, so okay.
Right,
so this is exactly the dilemma and debate, right? So the way that I see it is that you really do have two sides. You have automotive and you have transportation, right? And then what you see kind of in the middle that's connecting those mm-hmm. is mobility. But again, like then what is mobility? Is it connectivity? Is it electrification?
It's all of that.
Right, yeah. It's all of
50
it.
50 Shades of Grey, right?
Sure, but then it's like, okay, electrification, well, is that more on the automaker side or automotive side or transportation? So I guess that's where it's interesting to, you know, understand the terminology. And then depending on what that terminology is, how we continue to move forward. I mean, I was recently attending a panel where most of the people that were in this panel were not automakers. They were on the transportation side. And they speak about mobility in a very different manner right. than when I've been in dealerships and I've talked with automakers mm-hmm. about mobility. And it's very, very interesting that these two sides, you know, we're all in the same kind of world that are trying to do what's in the best possible interest of whatever the technology, consumers, we're just here to make life easier. But there's still that disconnect of bringing those two
at the end
industries
of,
together.
Agreed. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. So it's, you know, it's there's that really weird blend. I mean, we have some people who, even when they're registering for the show, are they an automaker or are they a tech company?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that question
or a startup.
Is, or are they a startup? I mean, it really kind of depends. In a lot of situations, it's all three. But if you have to pick one, what exactly would you pick? And that the answer varies based on who it is that you're talking to. You know, you look at the Bitons of the world or the Rivians, mm-hmm. The Faraday Futures, all of those people, they are. And if you were asking somebody probably in the South Bay.
But just real quick, the Faraday's going.
I know, I heard, business. I saw.
But
Greece is still around and it went through a financial crisis.
Exactly. So, but.
It's an interesting comparison there. I mean, we're talking about, I don't think you could ever overtake a country. I mean, unless it's in times of war. But
have you read about the Ottoman Empire?
Well,
we are not going to Greek. Yeah, we're not going
we're
down
more,
the Greek
you know?
Story.
Yeah.
Like
it's called a detour for a second.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, no, the people, how do you self-identify?
Yeah, that's Turo, a really Lyft, good question.
Yeah, all
how
these
do
people.
You, because some of them consider themselves startups.
Or media.
Some
who's them, media today?
Right. Is it because you work at Pinterest?
Is it
because
Kim Kardashian?
Is it a social influencer? What exactly? So all of the things that we actually used to know as just basic terms have changed and have evolved similarly to this whole automotive and technology, you know, world.
Okay, so let's get back to talking about some of the things going on at Automobility LA. So it looks like one of the things that you guys are introducing this year is the Connect app, the Automobility LA Connect app.
Mm-hmm.
Share with me what's going on with that and how that works.
Yeah, so this is our first app that we've done. Basically, you register for Automobility LA and you're automatically kind of added to this app. But, you know, you can download the app. It's available on Google Play and iTunes. So or in the App Store. So you can download the app. It's an opportunity to kind of connect with people who are going to be at the show and perhaps meet with them at a location or you know, just have a chance to chat with them and discuss certain things. Or maybe it's a reporter that you're talking to and, you know, that you want to meet. I don't know.
Well, I can see reporters and some big C-level executives loving that.
And then here's the thing, though. The great thing is you can always opt out. Everybody who registers there's an email that goes out and with your confirmation email and then it does say that you've been added to this app. So if you want to opt out, you can certainly do that. But you know, for those startups that want to meet with other startups, or for those startups that want to meet with VCs or OEMs or you know, some folks along those lines, this is a really great opportunity to do that, because there are a lot of people that come to the show. And it's really hard. You can't just walk up to everybody and look at their badge. And this is just an easier platform for people to use in order to communicate with one another.
Yeah, it's one of the goals is to facilitate for networking that happens at the show, because through conversations and networking, you don't know that the person next to you is the Alexis you're supposed to be talking to, or the Alexis that will ask you the question that'll inspire you to find either your next job or to spark a deal or to, you know, write about something. And so it's a really great way for us as a show to continue to deliver on networking as an experience, as a value proposition for attending this global gathering, along with some of the experiential things like the Beatles and Breakfast, for example, that happens on Wednesday morning, where we're going to be celebrating the beginning of the farewell tour the Volkswagen Beetle Final Edition.
It comes back again.
Well, you know, that you can let us know when that's happening, or, you know, we'll get a call from our friends at Volkswagen. But that being said, we really try to create events that will let you brush shoulders with people that you may not thought that you would have, or the people that you actually thought you'd want to meet, especially with such a diverse mix of people that come to Automobility LA each year.
And so some of the keynote speakers, what can you share about some of the keynote speakers?
We have a lot of really cool keynote speakers that'll be there. You know, the show kind of kicks off with Laura Schwab, who is the president of Aston Martin Lagonda. And then it ends actually with the vice president of Alexa Automotive, Ned Couric. And then there's people who are sprinkled in between, which is really cool. So I think this is one of those years where it should be interesting to hear what each person has to say. You know, they're bringing a lot to the table. These are companies that are evolving just like everybody else. And, you know, we're excited to have them involved. You know, we're certainly fortunate and very grateful, you know, that they're willing to kind of use Automobility LA as their own platform to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about.
And it's really rad to actually, touch on all the ACES. And again, ACES may change and it may be another acronym in 15 years from now, or in 5 years from now. It may be ACEZ, it may be something else, depends what, you know, becomes kind of the next hot topic, right, within the industry. But for this year, to add to what Alexis said, you know, you have Mr. Palazzo, who is with Electrify America, which is super interesting. Great, there's all these electric vehicles that are coming to the forefront. People are buying more and more, right? How are you setting up for an infrastructure to charge this new sort of wave of vehicles as consumers begin to buy them, so that you have proper range, you have this, you have that? And I think it's really interesting to see what he will talk about, as well as you have Ted Klaus, who comes to us from Honda R&D. And there's this whole project that they're working on, like a real life case study here in the United States, where they're testing, you know, safely executing autonomous and working with big data and all this other sort of intersection of technology. And so he's going to be able to share insights after this project has already been going on for the past year, and also kind of talk a little bit more around how autonomy has this whole butterfly effect. All these things have butterfly effects. It's not just, oh, well, look at this really great technology. How is legislation catching up to this innovation? How is all that stuff going to get implemented in this age of IoT, in the age of, you know, machines speaking to one another and speaking with us and us speaking with them and so on and so forth? So it's super interesting.
I think one of the things too is that I just saw an email that you're having some German counterparts speaking at Automobility LA to talk about the culture going on, what's just going on in Germany and the automotive culture going on there, and you know, essentially sharing insight so that we in America know how other worlds are doing. So
yeah, they actually, it's GTAI, and please don't ask me what it stands for, but
it's some like
I'm not sure, they will have a booth during Automobility LA, and so they'll be, you know, giving a couple of talks throughout Automobility LA about just that. So, you know, this is a place where companies are coming to Automobility LA to learn, to introduce new ideas and or new products or cars, and that's the situation that's happening on Tuesday specifically, and obviously Wednesday and Thursday. This is just one of those places.
On a personal level, I should say. I mean, individually, Alexis, what are you looking forward to at this upcoming conference?
I think just the overall content of the conference itself. I always get really excited about the vehicle debuts because they're very cool. If you haven't had a chance to go and check it out, I would highly recommend it. But I've, you know, obviously working for the show, I've had a chance to do that. But you know, that's a given. But for me, it's really about the content and hearing from these C-level or executives who are trying to change the way we look at the driving experience or the technology experience from a driving perspective. And that's, for me, that's what I'm really excited about. I'm sure it's probably because I have that tech mind that's going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are the conversations that I'm interested in hearing. And I think it's going to be very cool, just given the lineup that we have. We've worked very hard to get these folks there and wanting to come there, you know, wanting to come to Automobility LA. So if anything, I think that's really what I'm most excited about.
Lefty?
I mean, I agree with the Lexus. The keynotes have this sort of unique flavor. They set the tone, right, for what's being discussed, not only on the panels, which are just as important as the keynotes, I would say, but also what you're going to be seeing on the floor. Having the unique perspective of seeing what's available now and also looking into the near future and the distant future is always interesting, because I always look for those three things. What's my candy for right now? What am I excited for that I can actually put my butt in, you know? I can't tell you what that's going to be, because we have, you know, over 60 global North American auto show debuts that are going to be unveiled this year, but stay tuned. I'm excited that a third of them are electric, to be honest with you. I think it's great. It's more than we've seen in other years in the recent decades. So it's happening. Hashtag it's happening. I think that's cool. We're going to be seeing autonomous concepts, which is also really exciting because, again, hashtag it's happening. It's not just speak anymore. There's actually putting to find the proof in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm excited just as the complexion and the evolution of the cars that are going to be on the floor changes. But from a thought leadership standpoint, I really would like to see how Dr. Brightfield from Biden, who comes from a traditional sort of automaker and is now, you know, not only a CEO and co-founder of this electric new vehicle manufacturer, but a spokesperson, really moving into a startup role, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're a newcomer into the scene, but you come with some oldcomer perspective. And so watching an executive flip their hat like that, I think is really awesome. I'm curious to see what he's going to say. Obviously, Laura, it's going to be great to kind of talk about how do you take a brand that's built equity for over 100 years and, you know, either capitalize on that, reposition that for the next 100 years that you plan to be in business. Just because we've seen these sorts of stories before in other industries, like in fashion, for example, with Abercrombie & Fitch. I think they had, you know, bait. And they were like a bait sort of shop, sort of brand. And then they became this huge, iconic sort of fashion brand in the early 2000s. And they completely changed 100 years later to be a completely different thing. It's going to be interesting to see how I'll recognize in 20 years or 30 years from now what we're going to see on stage today. But you never know with technology, right?
So, you know, just a couple more questions here. And I you know, as we're talking about this, I'm realizing too that we are all of around the same age, and you guys specifically are in a position to really influence, you know, what goes on in the world when it comes to mobility. So if I'm to ask, you know, you guys again on a personal level, like, what are you guys hoping to see in the future that mobility would help you out or would benefit you? Like, what would that be? I mean, again, because you guys are, you know, and not just you guys, but there's lots of people that are in this position, but certainly, you know, our kids will probably, they'll be the ultimate beneficiary of this. You know, we're laying the foundation. We're really building the first floor, second floor, but
makes
that,
sense.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that, no, that totally makes sense. And I hear you on that. I think having been born and raised in LA and, you know, having seen LA go through its really smoggy times, I could breathe a bit easier now, knowing that things will get better in terms of providing me more last mile solutions, transportation options, not only for me, but for my parents as they're getting older. My mother barely speaks English. She's an American citizen, right? But knowing that voice, for example, will be integrated into a vehicle, or that she can use ride sharing because she doesn't drive, she's suddenly going to be more mobile around a city that was inconquerable for her. That makes me feel good because it'll put less strain on me, who's obligated to take care of his mother, obviously, at some point in time, and father. But literally, this is like real life stuff. So seeing technology actually deliver on that makes LA a lot more livable for me, and for if I have kids, my future kids, but for also my parents as they get older. And it's going to be hopefully cleaner, so cleaner tech. So all of that is what truly excites me, and it means it's going to be a lot safer too if it's going to be autonomous, which opens things up for me to apply myself, whether that's being artistic or staying connected or having a more meaningful conversation rather than focusing it on driving. And if I do want to drive, PCH is still down the street, and hopefully they don't make that into an autonomous route so that I can actually take a Ferrari Dino or whatever it is and drive it down and let my hair, if I have any in 30 years, like, you know, feel the breeze of Malibu, if that makes any sense.
It's actually very beautiful. That's very beautiful.
That was a poem. That was great.
It was a gaiku, a poem.
That was amazing. Yeah, okay, for me, I think it's really about safety and getting from point A to point B safely, whether it is in an autonomous vehicle, whether it's ride share, however. I mean, as a mom-to-be, these are the things that I'm now concerned about. And because at some point, this kid that's currently baking will grow up and she will, you know, she'll want to drive, or she's definitely going to want to get from some place to another place. And so as a parent, I need to make sure that my child is able to get to someplace safely. So I'm very curious about what companies are going to bring to the table from a safety mechanism standpoint. I mean, we're not just talking about seatbelts now, right? We're talking about technology that's surrounding the car and making sure that if there's somebody in front of this car, the car isn't going to keep going. Or if there's another vehicle in front of the car, it's not going to keep going. It's going to stop. It's going to recognize its surroundings and move accordingly. At this point in my life, you know, and also being an LA native, these are the important aspects, you know, that you look for, because there's a ton of traffic. Sadly, there are accidents that do happen, especially on 405 in the morning. And you want whatever technology can be developed in order to help your friends, families, just people in general to get to their destination safely. And so that's really important. I think that's really important. That's something that I'm very excited to see.
That's beautiful, both of you. Good Lord, that was beautiful.
I'm writing my next book.
Well, I mean, look, I was gonna ask another follow up, but you know what? I think I'm happy with where this has gone. I mean, is there anything that you guys would want to touch upon that I haven't?
I think it's just, you know, Automobility LA. It's taking place the November 26th through the 29th at the Los Angeles Convention Center and inside of the Technology Pavilion, which, if you're driving downtown LA, it's a huge white tent that's right in front of the convention center. And then the LA Auto Show is happening November 30th through December 9th. So bring your mom, bring your dad, bring any car buffs, just bring people. And, this is your chance to sit in some really cool cars and pretend. I know I do it all the time, so it'll be a great experience.
You know, to that end too, let me just add real quickly too. I think the LA Auto Show is a great time for parents, especially with newborns, to, you know, first off, bring the stroller into the auto show.
Like things with wheels.
Yeah, true, right? But, you know, having worked at the dealership level, it's always kind of funny when, like, you know, a customer parks, they expend so much energy to put their child into their stroller, only then to, like, maybe walk 10, 15 feet and then, like, start to pack up the stroller, put the car seat in this new car that they're looking at. It's like, hey, do that at the LA Auto Show. Like, I think that's a little more ideal.
I should have planned accordingly, but who knew that I was going to be in the, that I was going to be with child and within a year after I bought my car. But, you know,
it's 5 hours. Isn't that the average time?
Yeah, five hours.
So yeah, third party research has shown what 5 hours is what a person spends at the LA Auto Show when they come. So, you know, we can guarantee you almost that you won't have to refold that sort of stroller and put it in the bag for at least 5 hours. And if you were to try to do that with your consideration list, let's say you're looking for a car, you probably have to do that, what, 5-6 times at least in a day? And here you can only have to do it, you know, once. To add to what Alexis said with our dates, the only thing I would pretty much want to add is that Automobility LA isn't like, you know, going to the museum or anything like that. What you're going to see now, you probably won't see or hear again ever. You'll hear something else because things are changing so quickly that, at least from a thought leadership standpoint, and the insights that matter today and that are shared today, you know, 3 months, 6 months down the line, that whole story may change. So it's part of just staying at the forefront. If someone's interested in, again, transportation, mobility, the future of how we get from A to B, that's what this moment in time is. It literally encapsulates, you know, the near future, the distant future, as well as the present state as to what's possible. So I encourage, if you're an industry professional, super into it, journalist, come check it out. If you can't make it, you can definitely catch us on the Automobility LA podcast. It's available also, you know, where podcasts are found. Or you could always check out automobilityla.com, where we have that information. You can listen in to everyone from like Waymo and their CEO to John Zimmer from Lyft talking about the future of transportation and sharing economy and all that. And I remember he was an early father too.
Yes.
At the time, and he says, my kid probably won't ever drive themselves, you know? And, it's really interesting. We don't even know at what kind of pivotal point we are right now. And it'll be interesting if we can fast forward and look back right now and say, oh, you were pregnant at that time. And, you know, Dennis wasn't stuck in traffic coming up to LA, came a little early, was sweet enough to get us coffee and so on and so forth. So it's really neat. That's all I wanted to add. Thank you again for giving us the chance to kind of go through.
Yeah.
Carpe diem, as I hear it. Carpe diem.
Exactly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Automobility LA is going on again from November 26 to 29 at the LA Convention Center. Visit automobilityla.com to register. You guys are still taking registrations, yeah?
We're taking registration until the 30th, or I'm sorry, the 29th of November.
Until the 29th of November,
whenever
you can
ready,
walk up.
You can walk on up and register.
You could follow Automobility LA on social media as well, and as Lefty said, on their own podcast. So again, go to Automobility LA and you'll find automobilityla.com. You'll find everything there. The LA Auto Show, again, going on from November 30th to December 9th at the LA Convention Center. General admission tickets start at $12. Seniors are 10. Children are between ages 6 and 12 or $5. And again, if your kid is under 6 and you bring a stroller, that's all free. Bring that stroller into the auto show.
Bring that baby.
That's right. Hashtag bring that baby. So check out LAAutoshow.com for more details, including hours. It looks like most of the hours are either 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. or 10 a.m. to 9 p.m.
We're open a little bit longer on the weekends. And so if you want to avoid the crowds, highly, highly, highly suggest that you come on a weekday.
And make sure you buy your tickets online. It's going to be a little less expensive, and it'll be easier for you. You can just buy your ticket and just walk right in.
Insider
instead of having to buy
right
it at the show. So definitely do that. Save some money.
Lefty, Alexis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And a thank you to Lefty and Alexis for sharing their insight about this year's upcoming Automobility LA Conference and LA Auto Show.
Listeners, next week we will be featuring one of the key members of Toyota's telematics program. He was instrumental in introducing the connected vehicle experience, which is known as Intune for Toyota and Inform for Lexus. Also next week, we will be launching a new bonus episode, which will be an audible guide to the LA Auto Show. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast or follow along on Facebook for updates. Take us out, Wisco.
Cheers. Prost. L'chaim.
Kipis, Nastravi, Salud, Kampai, Mabruk, Tutsins, Ganbei, Yamas, to the customer experience.